Well, congregation, our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 47. Psalm 47. And we'll read all of the psalm just now and let us hear God's word to us. To the chief musician, Psalm of the Sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. The shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. O congregation, brothers and sisters, on Ascension Day, as you know, we celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven and his enthronement at the right hand of the Father as heaven's eternal King, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, the King of all the earth, the one who reigns supreme over men and nations, before whom the Bible reminds us all the inhabitants of this earth, they are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will then in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. But you see, he is now seated upon his throne of majesty and dominion in heaven as God over all. And he will reign there, the Bible says, until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, till he has gathered all of his blood-bought people to himself from out of every tribe and nation and tongue and people. And then the Bible says the kingdoms of this world, they will finally have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And friends, what a reason we have then to celebrate the glorious fact of the ascension of our King, all that it now means for us. And to help us to do that then this evening, I want to turn to the psalm that we read, Psalm 47. It's a psalm which celebrates the fact that our ascended King is King over all the nations. It's a psalm which looks forward to the day when all of the nations will be in submission to him as their king. And that is how I want to think about this psalm this evening then, by considering firstly the sovereignty of our King, then secondly the song to our King, and then finally the supremacy of our King. Well, let us begin then by looking firstly at the sovereignty of our King. And we see this emphasized in verses 1 to 4 of this glorious psalm, which begins, you'll see, with a call to all peoples, to all nations, to clap their hands, to shout to God with a voice of triumph. Why? For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. And just as in ancient times then, kings were saluted with a clapping of hands and with shouting and with great joy at their ascension to the throne or at their return from some great victory over their enemies, so too we are being summoned here to salute our great King and Sovereign. You see, he is the Most High God. He is the King of all the earth. And he is to be exalted then among the nations. He is to be exalted on the earth on account of who he is, on account of his power and his majesty, his glory and his dominion. You see, he is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He's the one, as it says in Psalm 103, who has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He's the one, as it says in Psalm 113, who is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens, for he is enthroned on high as God over all. And he sits in his holy temple then. He does whatever he pleases, as it says in Psalm 135, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. And as Daniel reminds us then, no one can restrain his hand. No one can say to him, what have you done? Because he is the great sovereign God and King, whose rule and reign knows no bounds or limits, and whose kingdom, as it says in Psalm 145, is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures, therefore, throughout all generations. But you see, he is king forever and ever. And this psalm, like so many of the psalms then, it is all about magnifying the greatness and the glory of our sovereign God and King, so that we would see him as he is, we would rejoice in him as our great and awesome God. You see, unlike the pagan gods of the ancient world, gods like Baal and Molech and Ashtaroth, which were imagined to be territorial and regional gods, whose authority was limited to a region or a nation, the psalmist is here proclaiming the fact that the Lord God is not like any of these imagined gods. You see, he is king over all the earth. And all other kingdoms and their so-called gods then, they may come and they may go, but our king and his kingdom will last forever and forever. You see, this is what we must never forget. All of the kingdoms of men, they are just temporary blips on the pages of human history. And you see, they all have their day then. And we know this is true. For think about all of the great kingdoms and empires of this world that have risen and fallen since this psalm was written even. Think of the great Assyrian kingdom, the great Babylonian kingdom, the Neo-Persian kingdom. Think of the vast empires of Egypt and Greece and Rome. Friends, where are they now? They're all gone, every last one of them. But the kingdom of our God, it remains, and it will remain forever. For our God and King is the Lord Most High. He is the sovereign God who is king over every other king, and he is Lord over every other Lord. And you see, he stands over all the earth, all of its puny little kingdoms then. And he is the one who determines their bounds and their course and their end. And he will reign then, and he must reign, the Bible says, until he subdues all of the peoples of the earth to himself, and he places all of the nations under his feet, and every knee bows to him, and every tongue confesses that he is King and Lord over all. And you see, that is what the psalmist is also envisaging here. That is what he is calling the people of God to rejoice and glory in verses 3 to 4. You see, while he is no doubt thinking in the first place here of some great victory that Israel had enjoyed in fending off the attack of an enemy nation and triumphing over them, because their God and their King was the one who was fighting for them, he is also recognizing prophetically that such a victory is indicative of all victories that God brings to his people and will ultimately bring to his people when all his and their enemies have been made his footstool. And you see, just as God chose out an inheritance and a land for his people in the Old Testament then, referred to here as the excellence of Jacob, and he subdued their enemies under them in that land, so too he will sovereignly see to it that the everlasting inheritance he has chosen and promised to his beloved people in the New Testament, it will yet be theirs. You see, as the sovereign King and God of the universe, he has the right and the power to give this earth and all that it contains to whomsoever he wills. And he will yet subdue all of the enemies of the people of God under their feet then. They shall yet inherit the ends of the earth for their possession, and the nations of this world shall be their inheritance. And friends, while we may look out in this world then, may seem at times that the various nations of this world are gaining the upper hand, that they are triumphing in their rebellion against our great God and King, we mustn't ever lose sight of these things. You see, our sovereign God and King, he does reign over all the earth, and therefore his plans and his purposes and his promises, they cannot possibly fail to come to pass. And friends, you and I, we ought to be a people then who rejoice in hope, in the hope of these things. We ought to sing praises to our God and our King on account of these things. And that's what I want to move on to consider in the second place then, as we think about the song to our King. You see, that is what verses 5 to 7 are designed to focus our attention on. What our personal response to the fact that God is the King of all the earth should be. It should be one of song and of praise and of worship. But you'll notice that 5 times the call is given here to sing praises to our God and our King. And of course, it's here in these verses that we see this, why this psalm is seen by the church as an ascension psalm. We have here a glorious picture of God ascending to his throne in heaven. And he is doing so, we're told, amid shouts of joy and praise. And the psalmist says there are sounds of trumpets. There is great excitement and mirth because the Lord our King is on his throne. And the psalmist was likely thinking here of God coming down, so to speak, to bring about a great deliverance for his people in battle, as we've already said. Then after the battle was over, people had triumphed. God is viewed as going up to heaven again, as returning to his dwelling place in heaven and reoccupying his throne there, and of his remaining in heaven till some new need arises for him to come to the aid of his people again. And he's thinking of God going up then amid the shouts of joy and thanksgiving of his victorious people Israel, the sound of the trumpets of the priests, which were used on occasions of great joy and gladness. But friends, while that may be the historical context of these verses, we are to recognize, as the church always has, that what is also being pictured here prophetically is the ascension of our great sovereign King, the Lord Jesus, to his throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father, after he had triumphed over all of the principalities and powers of the kingdom of darkness. You see, that is the greater victory that is being envisaged here, and which calls for songs of praise and adulation from the hearts and lips of God's people in all ages of the church. You see, the same sovereign King who came to earth in Israel's day to fight their battles, win for them a decisive victory over their enemies, is the same sovereign King who came to this earth at the appointed time to win a decisive victory over the chief enemy of God's people, the devil. You see, he came to crush the head of the serpent. He came to destroy his works once and for all. And having done so then, to ascend to his royal throne of majesty and dominion in heaven, where he now sits enthroned as God and King over all. And friends, that is where our Lord and King is seated at this very moment, at the right hand of God as the King of all the earth. And you see, you and I were now called to bless and magnify his name with songs of praise and of great joy. For you see, we're to sing to him with understanding. We're to sing to him with the understanding that these things are so. And friends, we're to take our eyes off everything in this world then that keeps us from doing so by constantly directing our focus upward and by refocusing our gaze continually on heaven's King, the King of kings and Lord of lords, so that we would be led to praise and magnify our great King, saying in the words of the church in Revelation chapter 19, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And so often this is our problem in life, is it not? We're so earthbound in our thinking and our outlook. You see, we live in this world. We work in this world. We engage in relationships in this world. There's so many things in this world which constantly compete for our attention and our affection, which can so easily direct us and distract us from the proper worship of God. But friends, we're called to be in the world and not of it. You see, friend, you and I were to have a heavenly mindset. We're to have a mindset whereby we intentionally set our minds and our hearts on things above, not on the things of this earth, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. And you and I then were to live in the understanding this world's not our true home. Our citizenship is in heaven if we are Christians, where Christ our King is. And the glorious fact of the ascension then, it's meant to enable us to see these things and to see things as they truly are, so that we would worship and praise God, and we would make that the leading concern of our lives, and that we would live with an eternal perspective. We would live with a kingdom perspective, a perspective that keeps us from being fixated on this fleeting and passing world. You see, when the things of God and of Christ grip our hearts and captivate our minds, then we will be enabled to rise above the daily cares and concerns of the life of this life, because we will see the one who is seated enthroned in glory, who is over every single one of them, and that he is our King and Sovereign, who is working in and through all of these things for our good and for his glory. And you see, when we live by faith in that way, then the necessary byproduct and result will be one of praise and worship. Not because we're oblivious to what is going on in the world and our own lives, but because we're able to see past these things into the very throne room of heaven above, and to see him who is seated there, who is arrayed in splendor and in majesty. And you see, friends, when that happens, our hearts will be so caught up with a vision of his glory and his dominion that of necessity they will overflow with songs of praise to our great God and King. And friends, may God give us eyes to see more and more of the glory and the wonder of these things then, so that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of his surpassing glory and grace. And that our hearts then would learn to savor more and more of the greatness of the God and King who has made us his own. You see, it is only as we do see and savor these things, as we come to understand and appreciate them more, that God will receive the praise and the worship that he is altogether worthy of. And friends, let us seek grace continually then to ensure that we don't rob God of his glory and honor by failing to give sufficient thought and attention to these things. But let us give our minds continually to growing in our knowledge, our appreciation, our understanding of them, so that we would see and comprehend more and more and more of who our great God is, that he is the great King and God of all the earth. He is the one who rules and reigns supreme over the nations, who sits on his holy throne to bring to pass all that he has purposed in heaven above and in the earth beneath. You see, friends, that is the only true and lasting grounds for real joy and peace and stability and praise in this ever-changing world. Well, that brings us then in the last place to reflect more briefly on the supremacy of our King. And that is what the psalmist focuses on in verses 8 to 9 of this wonderful psalm, where we see that having ascended to his holy throne in heaven, our God and our King, he now sits there as the supreme and only exalted ruler of all the earth, the one who is in absolute, complete control of all things. But you see, it is his throne. It belongs to him and him alone. And he reigns there then over all the nations, the shields of the earth, all of the banners, the heraldry, all of the other symbols of human power and might and dignity, they also belong to him. And there's no power anywhere then that is superior to his, or that can ever frustrate the exercise of his reign and dominion and the fulfillment of his plans and purposes. And you see, that's why the psalmist reminds us here also then that someday all nations will acknowledge our God and King as being what Paul calls the only blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And on that day he will be greatly exalted. You see, the psalmist sees a day coming here when God will gather all of the people of God out of all nations to himself. And they will come and they will worship, they will serve and they will adore the God of Abraham in fulfillment of his covenant promises. You see, to him shall be the obedience and gathering of the people, as is promised in Genesis chapter 49. And friends, what a wonderful picture we have here then of the fact that God is at work to build his church, to establish his reign on the earth, and that he is and he will continue to direct all of creation to bring it to the point at which he will be greatly exalted. For friends, make no mistake about it, all nations will yet pay homage to our God and King. They will yet kiss his royal scepter and own him to be the only true God, the living God, the supreme ruler of heaven and of earth. And what tremendous words of consolation and encouragement we have here in this glorious ascension psalm then. And how the thought of these things should act like an anchor to our souls, to make us sure and steadfast in our convictions and in our walk with God. But friends, we don't need to be afraid in light of these things when we think about where this world is going, in spite of all that we see happening around us. For we know what direction this world is heading in. You see, God assures us in his word that it is moving inexorably toward that great day when our God and King will yet rise from his throne in heaven above. He will come again for a second time. And on that day, friends, every nation will acknowledge him as King. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And friends, let our outlook on life be one of worship and praise and hope-filled confidence then that our God is the Lord Most High. He is King of all the earth, and he reigns over the nations, and he sits in his holy throne, and he will yet be greatly exalted. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are a great and an awesome King and our God. We bow before you, your majesty, your might, your dominion extends from sea to sea, and you are God over all, King of kings and Lord of lords, and we pray that we would see more and more of your glory, the wonder of being brought into your everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that will never end, a kingdom in which your people will dwell with you forevermore. And Lord, we pray that we would worship you, we would praise you, we would love you and adore you, that we would live for your honor and glory here on earth to make your fame known. Open our mouths and give us tongues, we pray, to speak of these things to others. Help us to lead others to you. Help us to seek to work in our own generation to lead others to you, the one and only God and King of all the universe. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us then to have our hearts and minds stayed upon you. Deliver us, Lord, from giving our hearts and our minds and our energy to that which is passing and fleeting. But we do pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be lifted up above all that is seen and temporal. They would be fixed upon the things that belong to our peace. And so, Lord, bless your word. Help us to see you as you truly are, the one who is arrayed in splendor and in majesty in heaven above, the one who appears in the presence of God for us. And help us then to find our way to you in all of the challenges and difficulties of life. Help us to bring our needs to you. Give us grace sufficient to face the future, to look out on this world with joy and with thanksgiving, that we know we're not alone in this world, that you go with us and before us in all our concerns. You will lead us, you will guide us, until you bring us to our eternal home in heaven above with you, where you've gone to prepare a place for your people, all those who love you, who long for your appearing. And so, Lord, we pray, keep us in this week. Be with us as we return to our homes now. Help us to meditate in your word, bless it and apply it to our hearts and to our minds. And keep us, we pray. Forgive us for every sin. We ask it all in your name and for your sake. Amen.